Thank you, thank you. Well, over the last, believe it or not, in the last 7 weeks, we've been doing this whole Time Traveler series, right? So if I rewind, we've done things like the revelation of God. Remember the creation of man, horror of sin. Remember we had some weird, crazy American dudes here. The wonder of Jesus in one of the weeks. We looked at the mystery of God, the Holy Spirit. That was a real cool week. The gift of salvation, the pursuit of holiness, and ta-da, dun, 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 the future of history. So one of the things we've been doing is we've been looking at all these awesome time travel movies, right, that have been going mostly back in time. Back to the Future was mostly about going back in time, and then obviously if you go back in time, you need to come back. How many of you are signing up to go to Mars? Apparently it's a one-way trip, so you can't be coming back, so you better be saying goodbye to all your peeps, right? But you could go back in time, and then you would come back. So this weekend, a movie has opened with someone who looks a lot like me, Jaden Smith. Look at that, just from the side, looks a lot like me. Okay, and after, how many of you have seen it already? Really? Well done. So you've seen that. For those who haven't, here we go. That looks, was that a good film to watch? Do we have to go? Do we have to go? Well, the end is coming, okay? It's going to be the end really soon. And here are some of my favorite doomsday images. I can't wait for that. That'll be really cool. What about that? I mean, that would be really cool. You know, wouldn't you be like to be in your time machine and that's happening all around you? That would be really nice down in the streets of London. Very nice, thank you. That's a wave you want to ride. You don't want to, like, get dumped by that sucker. You know what I mean? There's been a lot of movies, haven't there? I mean, how many of you have seen The Old Independence Day or The Day After Tomorrow, The Big Freeze, or District 9, our own one, you know what I mean? And like 2012 was cool, although we were a bit worried that we were going to make it. We all thought we were dead. This is coming, a nice zombie remake of the end of the world, World War Z. Pacific Rim looks like a bit of an interesting one as well. Well, turn to the person next to them and ask them how they think the world is going to end. And ask them if they've got goggles and breathing device in a bunker at home. Go. Just kidding. I want to talk a little bit about the end of the world. Would that be appropriate, maybe? The book of Revelation, this dude, John, has a very interesting experience. It's kind of like he is pulled up into another dimension, and he has some amazing experiences. Now, I'd like to read you from a little book that I downloaded on my Kindle this weekend, the most fascinating book that I've ever read, because I've only just started reading it. It goes like this. Other than Jesus himself, the ultimate time traveler of Scripture is John, who was taken bodily into the heavenly dimensions and allowed to witness the tribulation, the kingdom, the glories of the restored earth. His trip began when the risen Christ appeared to him and gave him a series of messages to seven specific churches. Then he was literally allowed to pass through a dimensional door. As this occurred, he was ushered into the timeless realms where the future may be viewed from a variety of perspectives. And he quotes Revelation 4, which pretty much kind of says that. John's spirit, in conjunction with the Lord's spirit, now moves to the divine throne room for a formal procedure that will unfold a series of judgments upon the Gentile world. The Lamb takes a sealed book and begins to unfold it, unleashing the fury of heaven upon a sinful world. John is an eyewitness to this event, which he reports as it unfolds. But from our perspective, it hasn't happened yet. John has quite literally traveled forward in time. As the seals are opened one by one, John sees the Antichrist, war, famine, and pestilence. More importantly, he sees the 12 tribes as they struggle to overcome the trials inflicted upon him by Satan and his Antichrist. He sees the tribulation saints and the system of the Antichrist rise to power. Then he witnesses the destruction of mystery Babylon and the second coming of Christ. The judgments come in three sets of sevens: seals, trumpets, and bowls. Over the centuries, various expositors have labored to make sense of their complex sequences. Earthquakes, astronomical catastrophes, demonic hordes, and disease wreck a world shaken by polar shifts and global rifts. The three sets of seven all contain elements of these judgments. But try as one may, it seems impossible to overlay them in any way that makes sense from the perspective of an earthly timeline, but no doubt from John's perspective, they mesh perfectly. His perspective as a time traveler, guided by the Spirit of the Lord, is accomplished with a purpose. And like the prophets of the Old Testament, he has shown the events that will convey a particular message to those who will later study Scripture. John is specifically led to return with a message of judgment, restoration, and eternal peace. But the precise relative timing of these events remain elusive. Peter once asked Jesus about his destiny that he had for John. Oh, gosh, have you ever heard anything like that? That maybe in our very own Bible there's time travel. Well, wouldn't you like to travel with John? Travel into a distant future. Well, courtesy of the Action Bible first, let's do just that. Here's how it goes down in the Action Bible. In just 5 slides, the whole book of Revelation. Many years have passed since Jesus came back to life and rose up to heaven. Paul and Peter have died doing the work of the Lord. John, Jesus' beloved disciple and friend, is the last apostle left. John, Jesus visits him in one final vision where he reveals what will happen at the end of time. Jesus starts by saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last who lives forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and hell. And in the end days, 4 horsemen will ride forth. First the conqueror on a white horse, then war riding on a red horse. Third will come famine on a black horse. Finally, death will come forth on a pale horse, with hell followed closely behind. As the 4 horsemen ride through the sky, an earthquake shakes the land. The sun turns black, the moon turns red, and the stars in the sky fall to the earth. Many people are killed by war, plagues, famine, even wild animals. A fun time was had by all. As the 4 horsemen finish bringing their suffering to the earth, the devil will come in the form of a red dragon. He will perform miracles, raining down fire from heaven. The people will be deceived and worship him. But just when all seems lost, the heavens will open wide, and Jesus, who is faithful and true, will ride forth on his white horse of justice. The armies and angels of heaven will follow closely behind. Jesus will seize that dragon, the devil, and lock him in the pit of fire for 1,000 years. Then God and his Lamb Jesus will rule in the heavenly city. The river of the water of life will flow through the streets, and the tree of life will heal all the people. There will be no more sin, there will be no more night. God will reign forever and ever. So whoever is thirsty, anyone who wants it, can come take the free gift of the water of life. This book of Revelation is an amazing, amazing book. Can I walk you through the whole book? I hinted to James this morning, I'm going to teach you the book of Revelation in one morning. I think I need to see a psychologist or something. What was I thinking when I put this together? Well, it begins with this incredible revelation of Jesus. And he's spectacular and he's shining. There's like a sword coming out of his mouth. And obviously there's like symbolic language being used. But he's walking among 7 golden lampstands, each symbolizing a different one of the churches. And messages are sent to 7 different churches. And then John, the time traveler, is like ripped up into this next dimension through a wormhole portal with the DeLorean time machine. And he sees this incredible vision in the book of Revelation chapter 4, of this heavenly throne room, and these beasts and beings all around it, and 24 elders around, and multitudes of people. And then there's this quiet moment where people almost get a bit depressed in heaven, when like, well, there's the seal, but it's got 7 seals on it, and who's worthy to open it? And it's found like no one's worthy until someone looks around and says, "The Lamb of God is worthy. He was slain. He lived a perfect life. He gave his life. He can come and open each one of these seals and unleash whatever they are." And the first of the seals has 4 horsemen. You know, horse riders are normally cool and cute and like with breeches and all and those black shoes. These aren't cute and nice with black shoes at all. They have like Doc Martens to stamp on people. These are like hectic dudes. And so they come riding forth, out bringing judgment on the earth, whether it's pestilence or war or famine or death. It's dark days on planet Earth. But in Revelation chapter 7, we realize that around the throne are all the believers. They have been maybe somehow magically or supernaturally, spiritually, been saved from what's happening on earth. And they are washing their robes and they are worshiping God around the throne of heaven. Revelation 8 to 9. Seven trumpets are blown. You don't want to be hearing these trumpets because each of those trumpets symbolize judgment that's coming on the earth. And then another scroll is produced by an angel, but it's a small scroll this time. And that scroll begins to be unveiled, and more destruction comes to earth. And up rises a dragon and this weird beast, and something comes out of the sea as well. And it looks like political and social systems are rising up, totally anti-God, totally against the things of God. In fact, here comes the Antichrist. But before you know it, seven bowls are brought forward. Bowls of the wrath of God are going to be sent out upon the earth. Pestilence and plagues and horrors. Kind of like what happened in Egypt, right? When Pharaoh wouldn't obey God. God is restoring order. And this dear lady riding on a nice, lovely red horse, the harlot or the prostitute of Babylon, this new world system that arrives, is, let me just say gently, she meets her match. Her day has come and she's not going to rule forever. Before out of heaven comes riding the Son of God, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, with the armies of heaven, with an incredible display of force, the kind of force you wish you had in your life as you play one of those games. You're like, oh, I'm about to die, I got no power. Endless power comes from heaven itself. And the devil is chained up. He's kind of like put on a leash. And at the end of a certain amount of time, he's cast down into a fiery pit of burning fire. And then we have the judgment of the judgment seat happen, where people are judged for whatever has been done here on planet Earth. And the worst moment possibly of all, anyone whose lambs are not found written in the book of life, anyone who's sided with the Antichrist, anyone who's anti-God, are thrown down into a lake of burning fire. John has already seen this. John went to the future and saw this in a vision. And out of heaven comes down to earth this incredibly brilliant, dazzling new heaven, new earth, as this whole thing is remade. That's why I'm not too worried that, like, there's going to be tomorrow some big boom. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen. Revelation has to unfold in this order, the future of history. So what can we say today about the future of history? I want to say just three things. Firstly, Jesus owns it. But like, he owns the future. Don't let anyone confuse you by thinking that Jesus is not in control. He right now is seated on a throne. We sang about in one of those songs this morning, something about, I'm so glad that you're on the throne. Do you remember that this morning? That was like, yeah, he is. We see him in power walking among the lampstands, sending messages to all the churches. We see his plans. We see his person. We see his people. We see his plans in this book of Revelation, that he is going to direct the affairs and the future. Jesus owns it. You cannot read the book of Revelation without realizing that Jesus is finally in control. Oh, he lets people run with things for a while. You know, Hitler, yeah, your day's coming, bro. You might think you're on top now, but you're going to go down. Jesus owns history. Secondly, I want to suggest to you that Satan gets it. And evil might be rampant now. And the day of arm wrestling might be going on now, where the devil thinks he's like getting the upper hand. But that's going to end. Because one day he's going to be changed. And one day he's going to be thrown down into an abyss for 1,000 years. And at the end of that, he's going to be released to be thrown into a lake of burning fire. His day is coming, where evil will be 100% destroyed. Now, what about us? I want to suggest to you that we survive it. And so I've got some challenges for you today about the future. Be calm. Be chilled. Maybe I can share with you what what Paul says. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposedly to have come for us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't sweat it. Be chilled. Be calm. We've seen the end. John has been to the end. Secondly, you need to be confident. You need to be confident about your future, where you're going. You need to know now what side you're on. Have I made a decision that influences my eternity? Am I ready to meet my Creator? Have I given my life to Christ? I have no guarantee for anyone who says, I'm going to maybe do that one day in my life. You need to know that I'm on the right side. I think Kondwani was saying on Friday or Thursday when we were looking through at this and thinking about Sunday, like, how do some people actually go with the Antichrist? You know what I mean? And actually be that and, like, choose that side. I mean, come on. The time traveler has been to the future and he's already told us the end. You're backing the wrong horse. If you can time travel, you know the horse is going to come last. Don't put money on the jolly nag. Find the horse that wins and put the money on the horse that wins. Now, concerning the signs and seasons, brother, says Paul, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. But if you are, you need to become part of the light by giving your life to Jesus Christ. I want to say another thing, that you need to be careful. You need to be careful at what you do with the end time stuff. How many of you lived through the end of the world in 2012? First it was going to be May, then it was going to be October. We dug like a basement under our property, and we bomb reinforced it, and we bought mince balls and like meatballs, and because we were expecting the end. We had 16 liters of water stored underneath, and we waited, but it didn't end. Stupid, right? It's not the first time people have thought that that's the case. Let's not go pronouncing different people the Antichrist. The church has got a lot of egg on its face because we've done some pretty stupid stuff over the years. So can we commit to be a bit more careful? And if no one knows the time or the day or the hour, let me know. In fact, I worked it out this week. 17th of February, 2014. Okay, I actually sucked that out my thumb, but I'm going to write a book and get rich from the book. I think that's how stupid we can be sometimes. We park our brain. And be caring. Be caring about others. Okay, it's not Father, Son, but it's me and my friends. Am I going to share the book and the story of Revelation with others? Am I going to share? I'm going to end with a video clip this morning that I think is a bit of a time travel. It's real footage. This guy went forward in time, and this is what you're going to see now. So this is real. This is not make-believe. This is not Hollywood, okay? So totally real.
Who can stop all of this?
Only the love of him who gave his life for us. Death will not have the last word.
Through him who gave his life for us, death will not have the last word. Jesus owns the future. Satan's going to get it, and we're going to survive it, and that's for sure. Before I pray, I want to suggest that if you have a look at that group later this afternoon, you'll be able to download an incredible overview and detailed description of the book of Revelation. This page as well has a link to some phenomenal resource. There are some images that have been painted for every chapter of Revelation that I haven't used today that are just awesome. The end of the Time Traveler series, not the end of the world as we know it. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you today that we can have assurance because you are in control. that we don't have to run around in a mad panic. We don't have to succumb, Lord God, to rumors, Lord God, that are unfounded. We have seen the future. You have unveiled to your prophets what is going to take place. And thank you, Lord God, that you remain in control. Lord, that book was written to encourage believers in any situation they find themselves in. So whatever we're facing at the moment, Lord God, in our situation, we know that you remain in control, that evil won't carry on and be prolonged in this world around us. And we know, Lord, that we will survive whatever it is we're facing. So because of you, Jesus, because of the end of evil, because of the assurance that we survive, we can go into next week and be triumphant. In the incredible name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Don't forget next week to be here early. The movie starts at 8:30 sharp. It's a good hour and a half movie, so it's like the whole deal. Okay, and apparently it's life-changing. So well done on enduring the time travel series. So of those of you got nosebleeds and earaches from time traveling, and it was unavoidable. God bless.